time of teaching and learning and getting together with other kids from around the country as well. So if you can join us for that. Also, Adults Night Out is going to be happening on May 12th. That's going to start at 5:30 on May 12th. And with that, child care and entertainment is going to be provided by our youth. And hope you all can make it to that as well. It's going to be a dinner with child care provided, entertainment provided, and a free will offering happening there too. And so hope you can come out for that. If you can, there is a sign-up sheet in the back for that. And a special nod to Thrivent Financial too for helping support us in that event. Correction. Dakota Hall is getting married, but that's going to be on May 27th in Sacramento. But we want to go ahead and provide an address there for cards and gifts and encouragement there. So his the address that you can reach him at is in the bulletin there for you. And I do believe there is or will be some more information posted on the back bulletin board as well. Also note that we're coming up on Confirmation Sunday before long. That's happening May 21st. Of course, that is the third week of the month, so that we can do their first communion at the same time. So I hope you can come out for that and hear the special confirmation questions and answers that will be in lieu of the sermon on that day. Something that didn't make it into the bulletin, but I want to get out there, the Young Ladies Bible Study at Siska's will be happening at 7 o'clock this Monday. So if you're involved in that, 7 o'clock on Monday will be that Bible study at Siska's. Otherwise, the week's shaping up to be pretty normal. You can see the upcoming events in the calendar there. Also mention, too, about the bulletin, you'll notice that we don't have the catechesis anymore. That's because we finished up our walk through Luther's Small Catechism together. But on the far bulletin board over there, I have posted all of the questions and answers that we have gone through, so you can look at that and review it. I've also printed some copies of Luther's Small Catechism back in the literature rack back there. You can take home with you if you'd like as well. So before we go on, are there any other announcements that need to get out there this morning? Yes? May 13th. Okay. Not May 12th, May 13th. May 13th for that Adults Night Out, not the 12th. Thank you.
For the youth group who are helping with the pizza, just can't sit nice and quietly at the last end and we'll meet the kitchen and get stuff set up so people can go directly to fellowship on after service.
Perfect. In case you didn't hear, youth who are helping out with the pizza today, during the last hymn today, go ahead and exit out the back and gather to get ready for that. Very good. Well then, we see in Jeremiah 23:29, the Lord is speaking against false prophets, and he says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock?" We know that the power of God is contained in his word, and so let us begin our worship service today with our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 148, verses 13 to 14. You can see that up here or in your bulletins. But let's read that out loud together. Psalm 148, 13 through 14. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and he has lifted up a horn for his people. Praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord indeed, and let us make a joyful noise to the Lord with our praise choruses this morning.
joy of my soul you are. Jesus, you none compare. Father, I rest in your care. Spirit, the hope of my heart you are. The heavens declare you are God.
And with that, our first hymn this morning is hymn number 8 in your hymnals. Hymn number 8 is To God Be the Glory. And as you're finding that, I'll invite you to please rise as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
Praise the Lord.
amen to that. You may be seated. John 6:63 says that the words given to us are spirit and life. And bringing us that life-giving word to us this morning is Gary Coleman. So I'll invite Gary to come up now and share a scripture reading with us today.
All is fine. It's fine.
I'll move it over.
You can't hurt it.
For sure.
Well, I'll start out by saying God is great. I look out at everyone here, and you're here. And there are some of us that are real thankful that we are here. So I will go from there. God also blesses us immensely. And just a kind of a mundane blessing. I was coming out of my subdivision on Friday. And I want to know who really was the blessed or the blesser. But I am stopped at the stop sign, and all of a sudden, this young girl in her car, boom, hits my back bumper. I don't know what she was doing, but I get out and I say, oh, thank goodness there's no damage on my bumper and there's no damage on hers. So which one of us got blessed? I got blessed because there was nothing on mine. Maybe it blessed her in some way, and I was the person that got the blessing for her. So I don't know, it's complicated there. Pastor gave a sermon last, well, Easter sermon, and for some reason, John 3:16 came to my mind, and I said, if when it's my turn, why, I will, I'm going to start with that. And then I look out at Pastor Chelta out here, and when he asked us to do Bible studies, he sometimes said, you pick out the key word. So I picked out some key words in John 3:16. If you pick out key words, they might not be mine. But anyway, I picked out these three. For God so loved, and I picked loved out. And at 2:52 last night, I woke up, and then I couldn't get back to sleep, and I started meditating a little bit on John 3:16. Where will that take you if you're thinking of how God loves? It took me to Genesis. It took me to the Garden of Eden. Once I was in the Garden of Eden, then it took me to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then I kind of thought, well, what happened between those two gardens? One was paradise, and the other was the cross. Love. And if you think of that a little bit farther, when Moses was taking the people out of Egypt, people got wicked. God sent snakes. The snakes bit the people. And then God commanded that Moses was to make a brass serpent. And if the people that got bit looked at that brass serpent, they didn't die. Then the thought came, how many people refused to look at that brass serpent that was up there before they decided, oh, they're dying here and here, maybe I should look. I think we're kind of the same way. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave. When did he give his son to us? He gave his son to us at Christmas. So somehow or another, I tied Christmas and Easter together. His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you've been asked, if you die tomorrow, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? When we had the two thieves on the cross, both of them were thieves. They both were getting what they deserved. One of the thieves, he disrespected Jesus. The other one said, Jesus, remember me when you get to paradise. And Jesus said that he will be with me in paradise today. So that's kind of where I went with that. So I'll read it one more time, and then I'll finish with two more verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Thank you, Gary, for bringing God's word to us this morning. You know, that could almost polish off half my sermon right there. That was good. I won't cut out half my sermon because I like talking too much, but well, this is true. There you go. Well, thank you. Well, Job 27:10 encourages us to call on the Lord at all times. And so it's a precious gift to us that we get to do that together here today, gathering as God's family. And so before we go to prayer, I would ask if there are any special prayer concerns or praises that we can share together today. Oh, she did. Fantastic. All right, so we'll keep Tina in our prayers and thankful that back surgery went well and recovering's come along good, too.
Mom had a very small stroke on Friday.
Oh.
And she's in Santa Monica Hospital now. And she'll be home tomorrow, we hope.
Okay.
Yeah. So just prayer for mom.
Yeah.
And then my two friends that I asked for prayer last week, I found out their names. The one woman that needed a triple bypass and couldn't have it and was dying. Her name is Betty. Betty Cole.
Betty. Alrighty.
And the other young woman who has uterine cancer is improving now.
Oh, okay. All right. Laureen. All right. We'll be in prayer for both Betty and Laureen. It sounds like Betty, she still can't have this operation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you. Great. For sure. Well, that's good. She's up and going a little bit and getting better. Oh, fantastic. Kevin's now officially a Van Houten. Well, praise God for that. Well, of course. That's right. Fantastic. No. We'll definitely be keeping Rita in our prayers. She's struggling a lot and having some terrible, terrible pain. So thank you. Ooh. Definitely be in prayer for Brittany. Recently diagnosed with autoimmune disease. Those are tough. Definitely be in prayer for her.
Prayers, Jason Nightingale, which has been in our church before, and has done the Bible memory sermons. He passed away. Sounds like maybe from some illness.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yes, thank you. I can't remember his first name offhand. Bruce, that's right. Well, if there are no others, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us, this another day to live under your grace. We thank you for all your provisions so far today. We thank you for carrying us safely through the night and for gathering us all here. Lord, we thank you for your precious word, and we pray that it would be proclaimed among us clear in all of its truth and purity. Our God, we come to you gathered together as a group of sinners as well. We confess to you that we have sinned against you in the things we think, in the things we say, and in the things we do. And so we also come to you in your mercy and pray that for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, you would forgive each and every one of us, every last one of our sins. Lord, we pray that you would create a new heart in us so that we can walk according to your will and live lives that glorify you. Lord God, because of the work you've done through Jesus Christ our Lord, you invite us to pray, to come to you with all prayers and petitions and thanksgivings. And we thank you for that as well. Lord, we think of Brandy and her treatments that are complete. We praise your name for bringing her safely through all of that. And we just pray that you continue to strengthen her and heal her from all these afflictions. Lord, we praise your name for Kevin now being officially a Van Houten. We thank you for giving him this family to love him and care for him. And Lord, we thank you for bringing him into our family here at this church. Lord, we pray for Sharon Nightingale and the ministry that her and Jason shared together. Lord, we pray that you give her comfort during this time of mourning, and that this ministry would be able to continue on. Lord, we thank you for the faith you'd given Jason, and we trust that you've received him home as one of your own. Lord, we pray for Rita as well, and these struggles that she's been having recently, especially with the pain, we pray that you would take that pain away. Lord, we pray that you would give her healing. Pray that all of those obstacles that get in the way of her having treatment would be removed, and that you would just heal her completely. Lord, we thank you for Tina's recent surgery. We thank you that the doctors were able to get in there, find what needed to be fixed, and to do it. And we thank you for the good recovery she's had so far. Lord, again, we pray that you continue that and continue to help her heal and get her strength back. And Lord, we just give you all the glory for all of it. Lord, we pray for Jeannie today, too, and this little stroke that she had. Lord, again, we pray that the doctors and nurses would be guided by your hand in caring for her and getting her what she needs. And Lord, we pray that you would heal her completely. These traces of difficulty with speech and memory, Lord, we pray that those would be removed as well. Lord, we pray for Betty and her health issues, especially with her heart. Lord, we pray that you would keep her and mend her and give her faith. Give her plenty of opportunities to hear your life-giving word and for her to trust in Christ alone as her Savior. Lord, we pray the same thing for Lorene and her family as she battles with uterine cancer. Lord, we pray that you give her healing and that she would glorify your name, again, through faith in your Son. Lord, we pray for Brittany and this recent diagnosis she's received. Lord, we pray that you give her strength and endurance to battle this. And Lord, we pray that you give her healing. Lord, we remember the Hoshas this morning as they're working to get to Taiwan and do your work there. Lord, we pray that you continue to pave the way for them and get them over there as soon as you can. Pray that the funds would be there to help support them and that they would be blessed in the mission of bringing the gospel into all the corners of the earth. Lord, we pray for Arlo and his recent injury. We pray that you would heal him and get him back on his feet again as well. Lord, we pray for Scott and his battles with cancer. We pray that you would work your healing into him, that the treatments that he's receiving would be fruitful, and that the effects they have on him would be minimal. Lord, we continue to pray for Doris. We pray that you would give her strength and continue healing as well. Lord, we pray for Charles and his battles with cancer, and pray that you would give his family peace and comfort as they care for him. Lord, we pray for Erin and her continued healing and strengthening. We thank you for the work you've already done in her, and pray that that would continue as well. Lord God, we bring all these prayers to you, thanking you for this opportunity to pray. Pray to you and pray with each other and for each other. And Lord, we even pray those prayers that we have not put to words. Lord, we pray those prayers that we don't even know how to pray. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is assisting us in all of our prayers. Lord, thank you for hearing and answering each and one of these prayers. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's my pleasure now to invite up Joel and Sarah Munson for our special music this morning.
can it be the one who died has borne our sin to sacrifice, to conquer every sin of death? Sing, sing alleluia. For joy awakes as dawning light when Christ's disciples lift their eyes. Alive he stands, their friend and king. Christ, Christ, he is risen. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing alleluia. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. When doubt and darkness once had been, they saw him and their hearts believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, yet sing alleluia. Once bound by fear, now held in faith, they preach the truth and power of grace, and pouring out their lives they gained life, life everlasting. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing alleluia. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. The power that raised him from the grave now works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts to live his grace. Go tell of his goodness. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing alleluia. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing alleluia. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. He is risen, he's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide, he's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven glorified, he's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide, he's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven glorified.
Wonderfully done, and a wonderful message for us. Of course, we are still technically in the season of Easter, so we get to keep singing these wonderful Eastern anthems and the Easter hymns. So let's now continue our singing with our next hymn, hymn number 298, which is Only Trust Him. Number 298, I'll invite you to please rise as we sing together.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Thank you. You may be seated. In 1 Chronicles 29:14, David is rejoicing in the generosity of the people of the Lord, saying, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you," and that's the Lord, "and from your hand we have given you." So in that spirit of gratefulness for God's blessings, let us now make our offerings for the Lord's work. Let us pray. Lord God, we are grateful. We are grateful for all the ways you've provided for us. And we know that as we give today, we are merely giving you what is yours. So Lord, thank you for this opportunity, and may we give out of thanksgiving. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless these gifts, multiply them, and help us to use them as you would have them used. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our scripture reading from the epistles today comes from the letter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 3 through 9. First Peter is one of those little ones that can be real hard to find sometimes. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance from the dead, or to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That is very much the theme of our sermon text today, too. Not seeing, but believing. And there's great joy in that and great blessing in that. Let's turn now to our next hymn, which is hymn number 340. Hymn number 340 is The Solid Rock. I'll ask you to please rise again as you're able as we sing together.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand upon the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Well, please remain standing as we turn to the next bit of John that we're going to look at this morning. This is going to be John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles there. John 20, 19 to 31. You know, pastors like three-point sermons. because they're real easy to put together. They kind of flow, they make sense. And every once in a while, this happens very rarely, but Scripture gives you 3 points right off the bat. Here in this section of Scripture, Jesus says, "Peace be with you," 3 times. And so we're going to look at those 3 times today. But this is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This reading in Jesus' name. "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.' But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.'" This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. So peace, kind of a theme going on here. Peace, we all want it, right? Peace is a universal desire in the hearts of mankind. We fight for peace, we negotiate for peace. Countless books are written to help you find peace with your family, peace at your job, peace with your neighbor, even peace with the food you eat, so that you have peace with your body. Give peace a chance. Imagine all the people living in peace and all those other hippie songs from back then. But somehow, peace seems to be beyond our grasp. World peace, personal peace, whichever it is, seems like you might as well just try to pull the moon from the sky. And the problem is that the peace we need, the peace that we really need, doesn't come from this world. It's not found in this world. And it doesn't come from us. When Jesus speaks the words, "Peace be with you," he is offering a peace that transcends all the struggles of this life, all the battles and wars of the nations, all the arguments and fights and difficulties that we might have with one another. As the one and the only one in possession of this kind of peace, his very words, "Peace be with you," bestows this peace to all who believe in his name. But what is this peace? It is peace with God. It is peace with God bought with the war wounds that he shows in his hands and his feet and his side. Peace with God won on that cross. Won when Christ turned us from children of wrath into children of God. And he did so by taking on to himself every last sin that puts us at war with God. This is a peace that even death cannot end. When Jesus spoke peace to these disciples on this first Easter evening, He was pronouncing peace based on everything he is as the resurrected Christ. See, these disciples, they weren't feeling very peaceful at the moment. Not a lot of peace there. They were gathered together in a locked room for fear of the Jews. And they had a right to be afraid. This isn't a very peaceful time for them. Jesus had been put to death based on a trumped-up charge that he was claiming to be an earthly king of the Jews. That puts everyone who followed him around in a position of being guilty by association, following someone who was after Caesar's job. That's not good. That gets you in a lot of trouble. Now, already the Jewish leaders had said that anyone who claimed Jesus to be the Messiah would be excommunicated from the temple. Not a lot of peace there. And probably by now, this idea that Jesus' followers were grave robbers who'd stolen his body, that idea was probably getting around, marking them as criminals. Not much in the way of peace for them right now. Rather, the disciples, they're experiencing fear and doubt and sadness and grief, and for some, maybe even just the slightest, most fragile hope. But in the midst of their distress, their Lord and Savior appears. Now, our imaginations love to run wild with Jesus' appearing here. You know, those who tend to not like miracles, well, they might say they climbed through a window or down through the roof or managed to unlock the door somehow or paid somebody to unlock the door for them, the keeper of the house, whatever it was. On the other hand, you know, we might imagine him walking through the walls or walking through the doors like some kind of Hollywood ghost, right? But we just got the scripture to go by, and it simply says that he came and stood among them. Simple as that. Christ in his glorified heavenly body, he's able to appear wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And disappear just as easily, we see elsewhere in scripture. The natural laws of time and space no longer seem to apply to his body. Back to the issue at hand, though. In the midst of their distress, their Lord and Savior appears. When these disciples needed him most, he appears. And he appears proclaiming victory over sin and death. Proclaiming that by his mere presence there. And then what follows is a wonderful greeting of peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you is a declaration of peace, wrapped up in the fact of his resurrection, wrapped up in the wounds that he shows his disciples. His death on the cross and his resurrection to life again form the basis of the peace he is offering to these disciples. He speaks this peace with God into the hearts of these troubled disciples, and they rejoice on account of it. So too is this peace bestowed to all of Christ's disciples. With the eyes and the ears of faith, we read and hear, "Peace be with you," and are given that peace by Christ himself. In the midst of our own troubles, our own fears, sadnesses, grief, doubt, Christ grants us his peace. Peace with God through his precious and powerful word. It's an abiding, an eternal peace. A peace that transcends all the experiences we might have in this world. Now you might run into people that will tell you that this peace that Christ gives us is the kind of peace that supernaturally makes your current life wonderful and happy. That everyone will love you and have a great job and your life will be filled with health and wealth and happiness. Which, of course, is a bunch of baloney. Not the kind of peace we're talking about here. And the proof of that is the majority of the apostles and disciples that we read about in Scripture who were martyred for their faith, who were put to death on account of being followers of Christ. Not the kind of peace we're talking about. Rather, it's the most important peace you can be in a possession of. Peace with Almighty God. A peace that exists even to the point where your very life is at stake. Even when you don't have peace with your neighbor, or with your checkbook, or with your body, or your politicians, or your family, you have an abiding, comforting, and eternal peace with God. Now, of course, Jesus doesn't say, "Peace be with you," just once here, but a second time during his encounter with the disciples. The first time it's in connection with his resurrection. But the second time he grants his peace, it's in connection with him sending the disciples out into the world. Just as he was sent to proclaim the kingdom of God and the forgiveness that gains access to it, the disciples are to do the same thing. That peace that had been given to the disciples is now theirs to distribute out into all the world. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, they're going to bring that peace to the world. How? By forgiving or retaining sins. Based on the work of the crucified and risen Christ, they now know everything there is to know about forgiveness. As a disciple of Christ, each and every one of us here has that same ability to pronounce peace with God. Forgiveness of sins. And we can pronounce that to anyone. The peace you possess because of the forgiveness of sins Christ has bought for you, you too are sent into the world to bring that to your neighbors, friends, co-workers, family, even your enemies. And don't get caught up worrying about if you're going to make a mistake offering forgiveness to someone, or that you might say the wrong words or anything like that. The same forgiveness you enjoy is the forgiveness you offer others, and it's simple. It's very simple. So simple a child can understand it. Does the person you're talking to know that they have sinned against God? That is, are they repentant, convinced of their sinfulness and their need of a Savior? Do they believe in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection as having purchased full and complete forgiveness? If so, then you can announce to them that their sins are forgiven, removed, taken away, far as the east is from the west. Simple as that. Based on repentance and faith, they have full and complete forgiveness for all their sins, just like you do. As 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You get to be the instrument God works through in order to deliver his peace to others. And likewise, with that same knowledge, you have been sent into the world to retain sins, to bind sins on another as having not been forgiven. Not based on your own whims, not based on how you feel about that particular person, but based on the same truth that we've just been talking about here. Does a person not see themselves as a sinner before a righteous God? And therefore, do they not need a Savior? Then their sins are not forgiven. And those sins cling to them to be judged. Does a person not believe in the death and resurrection of Christ? That death and resurrection that has bought full and complete forgiveness of sins. Do they not believe that? Then their sins are bound to them, inseparable from them, for all of eternity. Going back to 1 John 1, we see, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, that's God, a liar. And his word is not in us. And likewise, John 3:18, which we heard just a moment ago. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Based on that person's testimony, their sins are not forgiven. But all in the hopes that such a person will eventually become repentant and turn to Christ for full and complete forgiveness. See, this too is a wonderful gift. This peace that we are commissioned to bring out into the world is a wonderful gift. Though it sounds like a huge responsibility, it can be real scary sounding to us. But see, it's a gift that is exercised in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the truth of God's infallible word. Hard to go wrong with that. And you get to be the bearer of God's peace in a broken and warring world, proclaiming forgiveness or proclaiming enmity with God based on a person's simple confession. You don't have to worry about peering deep into a person's heart to determine whether that faith is true or not. That's God's work. He doesn't give us that ability, and nor does he expect us to be able to do that. It's also not a gift given to a certain class of Christians either. Apostles and ordinary disciples both were present at this meeting when Jesus gives this commission. But what about those times when we do run across that unrepentant sinner, that unbelieving person? Someone who doesn't believe that their own sinfulness is true, or doesn't believe in the risen Christ. Well, that's the third manner of peace that Christ is giving here. So he gives us his peace as the resurrected Lord. He sends us out with that peace to give to the world. And in the events surrounding Thomas here, we see that his peace extends to the unbeliever. The third time Jesus says, "Peace be with you," here, Jesus is faced with someone who has been obstinate in their unbelief. And someone who he seeks to prove himself to so that that unbeliever would have faith. That faith would be created in them so that that person would finally have peace. Now, I got to say that Thomas gets a bad rap sometimes. You know, we call him Doubting Thomas, as if he's the only one who ever doubted. But we see that all of the disciples of Jesus during and after his crucifixion had faith problems. In fact, even the apostles scattered after Jesus was arrested. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Seems like John was the only male disciple we see present at the cross. And when the women come to the disciples to tell them that Jesus had risen, they don't believe him. Well, they don't believe him at first anyway. And on the evening of Jesus' appearance to the gathered disciples that first Easter evening, even though they did eventually believe the women, Luke tells us that they were afraid because they thought they were seeing a ghost. So really, Thomas wasn't a whole lot worse off than the rest of the disciples. He just gets to be the guy who didn't make that first meeting. But Thomas is also persistent in his unbelief. And that's the main point here. Thomas allowed himself to remain in the pain and the trouble and the non-peace of Jesus being crucified because he refused to believe that he had been risen. Even the testimony of his fellow disciples didn't convince him. Now, these are people that Thomas had spent a lot of time with. These are people he considered friends. He didn't have a good reason to think that these disciples were lying to him. He simply clung stubbornly to that unbelief, even to the point of making unreasonable demands of Christ so they would believe. And that unbelief comes out in a very cruel and a very crass way, doesn't it? Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, right into the wound, I will not believe. See, the words of the disciples for Thomas were not enough. He had to see with his own eyes and feel with his own hands. Yet amazingly, Jesus condescends to do just that. Peace be to you, he says. And he tells Thomas to do exactly those crass actions he said he'd need to do in order to believe. Such grace, pure grace toward Thomas on the part of Jesus. Jesus, once again, has created faith in the heart of a stubborn believer. Last thing Jesus wanted was for Thomas to wallow in grief, wallow in his unbelief, and in the great love that Jesus has for Thomas. He gives Thomas exactly what he asked for. But perhaps more importantly, he did this not only for Thomas's benefit, but for the benefit of all of us, for the benefit of all the Thomases that would come after. In this whole event, Jesus is furnishing undeniable proof of having died and rose again, so that all unbelief would be called out as the unreasonable unbelief it truly is. A time would be coming when Jesus would no longer walk the earth, but would be taken up to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. These disciples, Thomas, the 500 plus others that he appeared to, were to be his witnesses and to furnish absolute proof of the fact of his resurrection. See, our belief rests in the undeniable truth of the word of these witnesses, so that we too can go out there confident, proclaiming that he was there, being seen and touched and worshiped by these witnesses. Which is exactly what John is saying in the last two verses of our reading today, isn't it? John was selective in what he wrote in his gospel. He says that lots of other miracles were done by Jesus in the sight of his disciples. But he didn't write them all down. They're not all recorded here. But what he did write is sufficient. Sufficient. So that by hearing these things, you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John considers all that he's written to be sufficient proof to believe the claim that Jesus is God's promised Messiah, come to save the world from its sin. And the purpose of this believing? So that you would have life in his name. Real life. Eternal life. A life of abiding eternal peace. True peace, peace with God, peace that comes only through our resurrected Lord, peace that we get to bring out into all the world, and peace that Christ desires would belong to everyone who currently doesn't believe. Peace be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this great gift of peace. Lord, we know that in our natural state, we are at war against you, and you must condemn us, for we are sinful. But through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have bought us peace, peace with you, peace to where we are now called your children. God, thank you for this peace made evident to us in the wounds of Christ, made evident to us in his resurrection. Lord, thank you for this great gift that you've given us, that we get to take this peace, not just keep it to ourselves, but to go and bring it into the rest of the world, proclaiming this peace to others. God, thank you that your peace still seeks to transform the hearts and minds of unbelievers everywhere so that they too would believe that Jesus is the Christ, that by believing they would have eternal life as well and be partakers in the same peace that we have. Lord, we pray that you'd give us boldness and confidence to go out into the world and proclaim this peace. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our last hymn this morning is hymn number 237. Hymn number 237 is Jesus Lives. And you'll notice as you get turning to that page there, that there, the very last line is it says, coda optional. Well, we're going to make it optional and not sing it today. So the first three verses, but just the first two lines of music. Jesus Lives. Oh, yes, and please rise as we sing together.
Jesus lives, Jesus lives, Jesus lives, who was crucified, labor done, victory won. Jesus lives, the grave is denied. Jesus lives. Lives, he has conquered the ancient foe. Spread the word, glorious word. Jesus lives, the whole world must know. Jesus lives, Jesus lives. Again, evermore to die. Savior King, praise we sing. Jesus lives, and so too shall I.
Now receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.